On behalf of Lineberg Information Services, this is Bob Keebler, making a case for 2012 Roth conversions. After 14 years of counseling clients on Roth conversions, the knowledge of who should and who should not convert is continuing to evolve. The first 10 years, most of our collective efforts focused on the long-term strategic benefits of a Roth conversion, a CPA's paradise with practitioners going behind a mythical curtain to analyze the labyrinth of tax law and underlying mathematical relationships. Over the years, however, investment experts and finance professors have added to this knowledge base by contributing insight on asset allocation and by refining the Roth segregation strategy. By now, sophisticated advisors, lawyers, and CPAs have developed a firm perspective on who should and who should not convert to a Roth. However, recently, with the extreme volatility of the stock market, the best minds in the profession have changed their focus. Nearly 100% of the knowledge developed in the past 24 months is focused on the tax law surrounding recharacterizing IRAs. This new knowledge, coupled with the high likelihood of increased tax rates and the continued wild swings in the market, has caused us to reassess our approach to Roth conversions. In the past, we would simply retreat to the comfort of a quiet corner of the CPA profession behind that mythical curtain and run endless numbers to support our maddening, at least in the eyes of a client, conclusions. In 2012, however, we need to focus our ideas and our energy on optimizing the segregation strategy, hedging against increased tax rates, what we call the annual distribution Roth strategy, and properly using basis and NOLs. Now, what we're going to talk about today, I'm going to go through six or seven concepts and just lay out for you in a rapid-fire, high-level format some of the ideas and where our thinking is. First of all, we believe, for those of you listening to this yet in 2011, that most Roth conversions, other than those to fill up tax brackets or to take advantage of a tax attribute, should wait until 2012. In early January 2012. And the reason for that is very, very simple. What we want to do is capture the volatility over the next 21 and a half months by using the Roth segregation strategy, converting by asset class. If you convert today in December, you only have until October 15th, 2012. However, if you wait until January, you have to recharacterize until October 15th, 2013. When you look at the math, if you look at the options going forward, for example, for the SPY, you're going to find out that there is about a 10% premium if you write calls on the SPY for October 2012, where that premium goes up to 13% if you write them on September 2013. That the difference being, just that extra time just speaks to the fact that, in theory, the standard deviation of results from the stock market is going to be different. Now, when you extrapolate that over multiple asset classes, that is really going to give you an opportunity. So, rule number one, when possible, defer conversions until 2012. Now, the reconversion strategy. Basically, when we talk about the reconversion strategy, once you've converted by asset class, the accounts that go up in value, you'll leave in the Roth IRA. The accounts that go down in value, you'll recharacterize. And then you'll wait the requisite period of time and jump back into the Roth IRA if that's appropriate. Now, let's talk about what the rule is. If you converted on January 1st, 2012, and you recharacterize on October 15th, 2013, the rule says 30 days later, you can jump back into the market. Now, if you converted on January 1st, 2012, but recharacterized, say, on November 25th, 2012, you would have to wait until January 1st, 2013 before you could get back into the market. Now, interestingly enough, the rules require a tracing. So if you have other funds, for example, if you converted and then recharacterized, and on the day you recharacterized, you still had some old, pristine, regular IRAs, you could convert those that very day. So that's very critical to understand. Now, so we're looking at conversions by asset class and trying to capture the maximum volatility. Now, we will not suggest to clients that they change their asset allocation one stitch. We want them to stay in whatever asset allocation their investment advisors have suggested. We're not going to change any of that. we are just going to take advantage of the natural volatility of the stock market at this moment in our economy and in our history. Now, hedging against increased tax rates. The government, Congress, has failed to do three or four things they promised us. They failed to deal with the 2010 estate tax until December 17, 2010. They failed to deal with the debt ceiling. The super committee failed the American people on coming up with a solution. There is no reason to believe that Congress will do anything tax law-wise until after the election and perhaps until after President Obama is in his second term or a new president is in his or her first term. Now, what that means is on January 1st, 2013, tax rates will go up. In all likelihood, unless the Supreme Court intervenes, we'll also have the 3.8% surtax. Now, remember, the other thing that could happen, put this in the back of your mind, is the Democrats continue to propose the millionaire surtax. And the millionaire surtax would basically prevent very large Roth conversions because income would spike too much. So these are all things we have to look at and be ready for. If the millionaire surtax gets any traction, 2012 will be a great year for Roth conversions. Now, so by hedging against increased tax rates, what we're really talking about is the rate on your highest earning clients could go from 33 to 36 or from 35 to 39.6. Okay, that's the practical side of this. Now, for those individuals that are in what we call the surtax bubble, they're going to go from 35% up to 39.6 plus 3.8 or 43.4%. That is a swing of 8.4%, and we have to be very careful about that swing. So we've talked about the segregation strategy, the reconversion strategy, and hedging against increased tax rates. Now, the next thing I want to talk about is something that's new and is going to have to be very carefully discussed. When a person converts to a Roth IRA, if they're over 70, before they convert, they have to take a required minimum distribution. However, let's say they converted on December 31st, 2011. For 2012, there would be no required minimum distribution from their IRA because they wouldn't have those funds in an IRA. If later they recharacterize, though, no doubt they have to go back and take a required minimum distribution. The issue is there's an interesting anomaly in the Roth regulations that might be helpful to certain clients past the required beginning date. First, we all understand that at one's required beginning date, they are required to take distributions from their IRA. The required minimum distributions must occur by December 31st each year, and converting to a Roth in January of a particular year will not reduce the RMD for that specific year. In fact, the RMD must be taken before the Roth conversion. However, let's say a taxpayer age 74 took a 2011 RMD and then converted his remaining funds to a Roth IRA. In 2012, no RMD would be required. The interesting issue is what happens if they later recharacterize that IRA back into a traditional IRA. Let me give you a couple of examples. Herman, age 74, converts $500,000 from a regular IRA holding a CD to a Roth IRA on December 31st, 2011. This is 100% of Herman's IRAs. Later, he recharacterizes when the value is exactly $500,000. His 2012 RMD base must include the $500,000, no doubt. This is fair, and the regulations properly reflect the economic reality of the situation. Now, let's jump up, though, and let's say the account went up in value from $500 to $600, and then, for whatever reason, he recharacterized. If that's the case, what the regulations provide is RMD base must include the $600,000, the new value, not the $500,000 he started with. Now, this is unfair. And the regulation should theoretically place the taxpayer in the same economic situation, basing the RMD on the value of $500,000. However, this example recognizes unrealistic because if somebody did receive such a big increase, they would probably stay in the Roth IRA. Now, on the other hand, let's say Herman's IRA goes from 500 down to 400. In that case, his RMD base must include the $400,000. Now, not the 500 where he started, but the 400 it fell to. Now, this too is unfair, and the regulations probably should place the taxpayer in the same situation, but they do not. So, if you convert to a Roth, let's say you had 10 accounts, 5 went up, 5 went down, and you're 75 years old. The five that go up in value, naturally you keep in the Roth because they've increased, they're worth more. The five that go down in value, you'd recharacterize those. You'd recharacterize those, and your RMD would also go down. So you're kind of in a, if it goes up, you win, if it goes down, you win type situation. This is very, very interesting. And Mike Jones and I will do a podcast on this to walk you through it in more detail. Now, a couple of other things we should talk about. One is if clients have net operating losses, do not lose track of, they can use net operating losses, charitable carry forwards, or even minimum tax credits to shelter some of their Roth conversions. And these are all very tactical things that you're going to want to look at and study in some detail. Now, the final strategies that we should briefly discuss. One is, one of the strategies is what we call the annual distribution conversion strategy. Basically, let's say you have a client that needs to take $120,000 out of their IRA during the year, and they take out $10,000 a month. Now, they could, they always go to cash. They could go to cash and park that $120,000 in their IRA, and all the earnings on that would be trapped in their IRA, someday subject to income tax. The other alternative is on January 1st, they convert that $120,000 over to the Roth IRA. All of the earnings during the year are going to be in a Roth IRA, and they will not be taxed once you've met the five-year test and you've reached 59.5. And then, so any earnings during the year will be tax-free. Now, that is a very low-risk strategy, and it's not going to do you a lot of good in 1 year, but it might do you a lot of good over 15 or 20 years. It may add up to a lot of wealth that's created on a tax-free basis. So that's something to kind of picture that in your mind and think about the efficacy of that for your clients. Finally, for those of you that have clients with IRA annuities with the, where the death benefit exceeds the asset value, you should be thinking about the standard plain vanilla Roth conversion. That makes a lot of sense. Now, if you have somebody that's past the required beginning date, I think you can turbocharge this situation by doing a Roth conversion. Let me explain that to you. This is a finance play, not a tax play. Let me say that again. This is a finance play, not a tax play. If you have a policy and every dollar you take out of the policy reduces the death benefit, either on a percentage basis or dollar-for-dollar basis, especially if it's on a percentage basis, you are going to want to keep as much in the policy as possible to preserve that higher death benefit. Well, what happens when you turn 70, you're required to start taking out dollars from the regular traditional IRA annuity. However, if you convert that traditional IRA annuity over to a Roth annuity, you're no longer required to take minimum required distributions, and you can preserve that higher death benefit. It's an incredible strategy in the right circumstance. It's something you want to think about for your clients. So to summarize, you really want to look at this Roth conversion strategy with following the segregation methodology. Remember, you're hedging against two things, the volatility of the stock market and increased tax rates. You are also, you're looking for clients with operating loss carryforwards, charitable carryforwards, minimum tax credits, any type of tax attribute that's going to give them a break on their conversion. A lot of clients will have basis in their IRAs, and they'll convert those. You want to make sure you understand this annual distribution Roth conversion strategy. Can you put that to work in your practice? And finally, what I just shared with you about IRA annuities with death benefits greater than asset value, if you have clients like that, you definitely need to embrace how that strategy can help your clients. On behalf of Lineberg Information Services, this has been Bob Keebler, making a case for 2012 Roth conversions.